toddler class.
Bless you, bless you.
2 to 8-year-olds, and, or no, 2 to 5-year-olds, and then regular children's church class from 6 to 9, and go with Dick. Thank you.
One more thing. You can talk. You can start in just a second. Me first. Also, please recognize the men that worked yesterday, today. Thank them. Look, just look for the really sunburned guys. It was so hot yesterday, and we had Mike and Danny and Brian and my dad Bob and Josiah and Dave was out there, and they were there all day, and in that heat. And so if you see them, give them some thanks today. They worked really, really hard for this church and the body.
Amen. Amen. What a great joy, what a great privilege it is for us to be here again at Calvary. We still vividly remember being with you about a year ago and what God did in that service, and are looking forward to what God's going to do this morning. Now, we're just going to take a few moments to introduce ourselves to you for the sake of those that are new to a church, new to the church, an exciting, growing church like Calvary. There's people here that have no idea who we are, and we're just going to take a moment to introduce ourselves to you, not because we're important, we're not. Jesus is the one who's important. He's the one it's all about, but rather having you wonder, okay, who are these people? Where'd they come from? How'd they end up doing this? We're going to answer those questions now that we can focus on Jesus the rest of our time together. We are Bill and Beth Uni. The name of the ministry is Fresh Fire Ministries. And prior to God calling us into this ministry 18 years ago, we actually pastored Assemblies of God churches for 20 years. We pastored for 8 years in Minnesota in a small town called New York Mills, Minnesota. If you don't know where that's at, don't feel bad. There's people in Minnesota who don't know where that's at. Small town, located 80 miles southeast of Fargo, North Dakota. After those 8 years, we then came to Wisconsin, pastored for the next 12 years at Whitewater Assembly of God, Whitewater, Wisconsin, located between Milwaukee and Madison. And then 18 years ago, God turned our world upside down and called us to travel as evangelists. So now, for the last 18 years, we've been doing this. A couple things we pray on a regular basis. One is, God, you have to open the doors, because, God, if you don't open the doors, we've got no place to go. And we thank God for a week after week, month after month, year after year, God has so faithfully opened the doors. And we thank God for this open door. But you know, we're absolutely convinced God never opens a door just to fill a date on a calendar. But God opens a door because there's something he wants to do in hearts and lives. We're looking forward to what God is going to do this morning in hearts and lives. The second thing we pray on a regular basis is, God, you have to show up, because, God, if you don't show up, nothing's going to happen. Hey, we know we can accomplish nothing in ourselves, but God can do amazing, amazing things. We're looking forward to what God is going to do this morning in hearts and lives. When we started this ministry 18 years ago, a couple foundational principles we established at the very beginning of ministry were these. First of all, we determined that wherever God would open the doors, we'd go. We weren't looking to see if a church was large or small, if it's in a city, the suburbs, country, up north, down south, Anglo church, Hispanic church, Native American church, but just simply wherever God would open the doors, we'd go. We've done that for the last 18 years, and my, what an exciting journey it's been. I mean, we have found places we never even knew existed. We've told people the second most important book to us other than the Bible is the Atlas to find out where we've just agreed to go to. Not only happened across America, but a while back we were asked to go to the country of East Timor to preach and teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we said, sure. Where is it? If you don't know where East Timor is, one of the newest countries in the world, located between Australia and Indonesia. In fact, it's 26 hours flying time to get there. That's not airport time. That's not delays. That's just 26 hours in the sky to get there. People have said it's so far away that once you get there, you're almost on your way back. After been there, we're convinced they're right, but we just simply agreed that wherever God would open the doors, we'd go. And the second foundational principle was this, that finances would never be the determining factors to where we would go. That we would never, never, never say to a church, well, you have to guarantee us X number of dollars or we're just not going to come. But we just simply determined we'd come on a love offering basis, believing that the God who had called us is big enough to meet our needs. Well, Here we are, 18 years later, still going, attesting to the fact that there is an incredible God in the heavens who still supplies and he still meets needs. He meets your needs. He meets our needs. Obviously, the way he meets our needs are through the love offerings that are taken in the services. So once again, it is our joy, our privilege, our pleasure to be with you this morning. We encourage you, let's just be open. Let's be hungry. Let's receive from God and let's see what God is going to do. Pastor?
I'm going to ask the ushers to come at this time. We're going to take the offering for the unis right now. That way we can give him time to preach and minister with an altar call and stuff afterwards. And while they take the offering, Beth is going to be ministering on the piano. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be a part of being your hands and feet, Lord, by blessing the unis this morning in their ministry. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to give generously this morning and out of the blessings that you've given to us, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to bless them and their ministry. Help these funds to multiply and to meet all of their needs wherever they go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
May that be the prayer and the willingness of our heart that when he says go, we will go. And no matter where he leads, we're going to look for him to be there with us. Amen. Thank you so very, very much for the love offering. We appreciate it from the very depths of our heart. Without the love offerings, we couldn't do what we're doing and we couldn't go where we're going. So we just say thank you, thank you, thank you so very, very much. I think just before we share the message, I'm going to just quickly mention the table that is set up in the back with some books and CDs, and to quickly let you know that the table runs itself. Don't feel like we have to be back there. Don't wait for us to come back there. If you're buying a book, you're buying a CD, you'll find a gray box on the table. If you're paying with a check, make it out to Fresh Fire Ministries, put into the gray box. Paying with cash, put into the gray box. If you need change, then come and find us. Paying with a credit card or a debit card, then come and find us. Otherwise, the table runs itself. Everything's available for a $15 donation, unless there's a sticker saying something else. Some books are $10. Some CD packages are $20. $20 ones have two CDs in them, and that's why they're $20. But if there's no sticker on it, $15. Let me mention two books that deal specifically with the Holy Spirit, which was our theme last year and our theme this morning. This one's called The Blessing, subtitled Experiencing the Power of the Holy Spirit Today, written by Wade Goodall, one of our Assemblies of God preachers, just a great overview on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Then we have another one back there called Helping Others Receive the Gift, subtitled Insights on Spirit Baptism from God's Word and Personal Experience. Compilation about a dozen different authors. Dr. Gordon Anderson, president at North Central University, has a chapter in the book. Randy Hurst from our headquarters in Springfield has a chapter in the book. And then there's one chapter in the book by a guy by the name of Bill Union. So we've got a chapter in the book too. People have said, did you write all those books back there? No, I wrote one chapter in one book. But anyway, that's one of the $10 books. Another one that kind of relates to our message this morning is entitled Purple Fish and subtitled A Heart for Sharing Jesus. So talks about sharing our faith and being a witness and a light for Jesus. So we also recommend that one. music of various different kinds. You love the old hymns of the church, got a CD about that. Love the most modern courses in the church, got a CD about that. You love the stuff in between, got CDs about that. So we encourage you to look at what's available music-wise. If you'd like to get our newsletter, write down your name and address on a sheet at the back table. If you want to get our weekly emailing, write down your email address. If you want to get both of them, write down both addresses. There's no cost, no charge. And then we encourage you, please, pick up one of our prayer cards at the back table. Bring the card home. Put it somewhere you're going to see it. Whenever you see that card, remember us in prayer. I know some of you have been praying for us for the last year, and we appreciate that so very, very much. But if you lost your card, or you didn't get a card, or you're new to the church, well, pick up a card and put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Put it in a book you're reading. And whenever you see the card, remember us in prayer. There's people praying for this service this morning. Last week, we were in Marlette, Michigan, near Detroit. The week before that, we were in Nashville, Michigan, near Lansing, Michigan. Week before that, it was Watertown, Wisconsin. Before that, Delavan, Wisconsin. Before that, it was Kalamazoo, Michigan. Before that, Marinette, Wisconsin. Now, we're asking you to join that army of prayers. Pray God's going to minister next Sunday in Withy, Wisconsin. The week after that, it's Wautoma, Wisconsin. Week after that, it's Plover, Wisconsin. And on it goes. Doesn't matter where we go, we need God. That's the bottom line. So, bring a card home as a reminder to pray for us, and we'd appreciate it so very much. And as you're praying for us, where we go, you go. And what God does in the services, you got a part in that. So we're asking you to join that army of prayers, and we'd appreciate it so very, very much. I think that's all we're going to share regarding the table. We're going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, please. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8. As was mentioned earlier this morning, last year when we were here, we had preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this morning, our message is a kind of follow-up message to that particular message. And so our text this morning is Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And this is what Jesus said. In fact, these are his last words before he ascended to heaven. When people get down to their last words, they talk about what's important. Listen to Jesus' last words before he ascended to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." If you'll join with me this morning, and let's pray together out loud this morning. Let's make it our personal prayer as we pray this prayer together out loud this morning. Pray with me out loud, please. Dear God, I thank you for who you are and for what you are doing in my heart, in my life, and in this church. And this morning, I ask you to further your work in my heart, in my life, and in this church. Have your way in me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. George Wood, our general superintendent, shared this incident recently. He said, "Several weeks ago, I preached in a large Assemblies of God church in a Middle Eastern country." I'm kind of getting an echo up here. Several weeks in a large Assemblies of God church in a Middle Eastern country. Where? In a Middle Eastern country. That's a mouthful all in itself. In a large Assemblies of God church in a Middle Eastern country. When the building emptied of believers, the pastor explained to me that hundreds of Muslims were at that moment gathering outside, waiting for the doors to reopen. Why were they coming? Why were they coming? Because they knew the Christians prayed for the sick and cast out demons. In that church, he went on to say, in that church, the question of whether we need or do not need the baptism in the Holy Spirit does not even come up. That question does not even come up. Do we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? He goes on to say, when you are confronting powerful evil forces, when you are invading hostile enemy territory, when you are confronting situations individuals have no human answers for, and when you are facing situations where positive thinking and self-help techniques do not work, you must have a power that comes from God. We need that power too, because we find ourselves confronting powerful evil forces. We are invading hostile enemy territory. We are confronting situations individuals have no human answers for. And we are facing situations where positive thinking and self-help techniques do not work. We must have a power that comes from God. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to experiencing the miraculous. It's the doorway to the supernatural. Unfortunately, today, many people view the baptism in the Holy Spirit as being unimportant. But Jesus saw it as being very, very important. Jesus told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem without this. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then Jesus used his last words on earth to talk about this. We just mentioned Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but just before that in Acts chapter 1 verse 5, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then our text when Jesus said in verse 8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus thought they needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, Jesus thinks you and I need it today too. But then on the other side of the coin, while some see it as being unimportant, whereas Jesus saw it as being very, very important, others view the baptism in the Holy Spirit as being a goal. They see it as an end. They see it as a final destination. They see it as something to check off the bucket list. Well, I've got that. And they see it as the end of something. Let me illustrate it in this way. To see it as an end would be the same as seeing a person going out, buying a generator, and they're seeing getting the generator as being the goal. Having the generator is not the goal. The generator is the gateway to the goal. You see, the goal is to have light. The goal is to have refrigeration. The goal is to have air conditioning. That is the goal. The generator is not just the goal. The generator is the gateway to the goal, to have light, air conditioning, refrigeration. Oh yes, you need to have the generator, but that's not the goal. So is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not just a goal. It's much more than that. It is a gateway to the supernatural. So this morning, for these next few moments, we want to look at three supernatural things the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to, is the doorway to. Three things. First of all, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to supernatural prayer for life and ministry. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have a whole new dimension to prayer. You see, without this, we can only pray for what we know about. And we can only pray for what we may know about, whatever it is. And that can be very, very limited knowledge. But when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can pray in the Spirit. We can pray in our prayer language. We can pray in other tongues. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray for things we may not know about, but the Holy Spirit knows about them. Or when we pray in the Spirit, we can pray for things we don't know how to pray for, But the Holy Spirit does. You ever face something you have no idea how to pray for this thing? I mean, it is like a tangled ball of yarn. And you have no idea how to pray for this thing. But when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we can pray for that. And we can know that that prayer is exactly according to the will of God. Sometimes our English prayers can get a little misdirected. Sometimes they can get a little self-serving. But when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we know that prayer is according to the will of God. George Wood said it this way. He said, when we pray in the Spirit, it catapults our experience from the natural into the supernatural. It releases the Holy Spirit to work. As we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can then give us direction also. The Holy Spirit can give us insight. The Holy Spirit can give us answers. As we pray in the Spirit, we also become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I liken when we pray in the Spirit, it's like putting up our spiritual antenna higher. You know, kind of, if you don't have cable TV and you have regular antenna television, how do you get better reception? You put the antenna up higher. Or if you have a radio and you need some type of an antenna system for that, how do you get better reception? You put it up higher. I liken praying in tongues to being like putting up a spiritual antenna higher so we can hear the voice of God. We can hear what God is saying in a more clear way. It's a supernatural dimension of praying. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul says, likewise the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Let me illustrate in this way. Jackie Pollinger was a missionary to Hong Kong. She said she saw very little ministry success. She said until she started to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let me illustrate it with a story she tells. She said there's this old Buddhist woman that she was trying to bring to Christ. She was getting absolutely nowhere bringing this old Buddhist woman to Christ. And so one day she decided, I'm going to start praying in the Holy Spirit for that old Buddhist woman. And so she said, I'm going to pray for that old Buddhist woman in the Spirit. And she started praying in other tongues. And as she was praying in the Holy Spirit for that old Buddhist woman, the word vegetable popped into her mind. She thought, well, that's really strange. So she thought, I'm going to go ask that old Buddhist woman's son if vegetable would mean anything to his mother. And so she goes and she asks the son if vegetable would mean anything to his mother. And the son says, oh, yes, because you see, my mother has only eaten vegetables all of her life in order to please her God. With that new revelation, Jackie went to that old Buddhist woman and said, I want you to know that God loves you so much for trying all of your life to please Him by eating vegetables. And He has sent me here today to introduce you to Him, and His name is Jesus. And that day, that old Buddhist woman gave her life to Jesus Christ. What was the key to the story? It was the revelation of the word vegetables. Well, where in the world did that come from? When she was praying in the Holy Spirit. The article goes on to say, there's so much going on all the time in the spirit realm that we have little or no revelation of. And our only means of tapping into that realm at all is through praying in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit allows us to pray in the Holy Spirit, which sharpens our ability to say the things that need to be said and to hear the things that need to be heard. Again, Jackie Pollinger said, that when she began to pray in the Holy Spirit, she'd find herself walking down the streets of Hong Kong. And her ministry was a great deal among the gangsters of the streets of Hong Kong. And she said, I'd walk down the street and bump into a gangster. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. But she said, they started to believe in Jesus. And I saw people healed. Because I was praying in the Holy Spirit, God was able to lead me to people He had gotten ready. Again, she said, I started to pray in the Spirit, and then He started to work, and no one works like Him. You might say, well, everybody who's baptized in the Holy Spirit does that. Well, I didn't. After I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't pray in the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. I prayed in the Spirit when I felt like it, or I prayed in the Spirit when I had really big problems. You know, you got regular problems praying English, got really big ones, then you're praying tongues. But one day I was reading a book that challenged me that take time every day to pray in the Holy Spirit. That author said take a half hour every day to pray in the Spirit. Jackie Pollinger said take 15 minutes every day to pray in the Spirit. And so I started to do that, not waiting for a feeling, not waiting for really big problems, but just every day I'm going to take time to pray in the Holy Spirit. When I started to do that, I found God began to do things that weren't happening before. God began to do things in me that weren't happening before. God began to do things in the ministry that weren't happening before. God began to work in a way that never had happened before. I think Jackie Pollinger was onto something when she said, I started to pray in the Spirit and then He started to work. But do you know, they've done surveys of Pentecostals and Charismatics in America. Pew Forum did the survey, but it was published in the Pentecostal Evangel a while ago. Pew Forum did a survey of Pentecostals and Charismatics in America. And do you know what the survey showed? The survey showed that 49% of Pentecostals and Charismatics in America never, never, never pray in the Holy Spirit after they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. 49%. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a missed opportunity. We need to be people who pray in the Holy Spirit. To not pray in the Spirit, it's like going out and buying a generator and then letting it sit there, or starting it maybe once a week in church. Let's be people who pray in the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. It's powerful. It's a supernatural dimension of prayer. Second of all, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to supernatural power. Notice in our text this morning, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Greek word that's translated power is a Greek word that meant ability and enablement. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to supernatural power. Look at the disciples for a moment. Follow along with me. The disciples, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Wherever Jesus went, they went. Whatever Jesus said, they heard. Whatever Jesus did, they saw. For 3.5 years, they followed Jesus. And then on the night when Jesus was arrested, what happened? They hid, they scattered, and they fled. Like a group of rabbits, they just ran. They scattered, they hid, they fled. You look at Peter. On the night when Jesus was arrested, when Peter was confronted by servant girls, what was the response of Peter when the girl said, you're one of his followers, aren't you? Peter says, paraphrasing the response, never met him, don't know him, don't have a thing to do with him. And then 50 days later, this same Peter is publicly and powerfully preaching before thousands. What happened to him? What happened to the others? They had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they went from those who hid and scattered and fled to those who were standing strong for Jesus. I mean, after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you could threaten them with whipping, and the response was, go ahead, I've been through it before. Threaten them with prison. Go ahead, I've been there before. Threaten them with death. Go ahead. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. I mean, what could the enemy do to them? They were standing strong. They were standing powerfully in the power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the conclusion we can draw? what walking side by side with Jesus for 3.5 years could not accomplish, the baptism in the Holy Spirit accomplished in their life. Here's an application. The power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is necessary in order to reach one's full potential. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not necessary for salvation. It is not necessary for salvation. We are saved through a commitment of our life to Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing added to. It's not a necessity for salvation. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is necessary in order to reach our full potential. In my own life, I had given my life to Christ, but I couldn't speak in front of a group of people. I couldn't tell people about Jesus. I couldn't hand out tracts. But I found that after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a new power that came into my life. I found I could speak in front of a group of people. I found out I could tell people about Jesus. I found out I could hand out tracts. There was a new power that came into my life. Oh yeah, there still may be fears and there still may be butterflies, but there is a new power that helps us to rise above the fears and rise above the butterflies and do whatever it is Jesus wants us to do. You see, there's a new power that kicks in when we take that step of faith and we step out. I think that's why Paul so often prayed for boldness, because Paul knew that if he took that step, the Holy Spirit was going to give him the power, the ability, the enablement to do whatever God wanted him to do. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Skipping down, he says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let me illustrate it in this way. When this beautiful sanctuary was built that you have, I'm sure that the electricians, when they wired this sanctuary, the electricians, they promised that there would be power in these outlets back here. They promised that there would be power in that outlet over there. The electricians, they promised that you shall have power in those outlets. The electricians, they promised that there'd be power in those outlets. When you and I, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus made a promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What did he say? Jesus said, and you shall receive power. Not might, not maybe, not possibly. He said, you shall receive power. Just like the electricians promised that there'd be power in these outlets up here. And there's power in every one of those outlets. There's power in every one of those. There's four outlets. There's one there, and one over there. There's just as much power in all of those outlets. But you'll notice there's something very, very different about the outlets also. You'll notice that the power just sits in this one. The power just sits in that one. And you'll notice the power is being released out of that one. And the power is being released out of that one. What's the difference? There's something plugged in. And when you plug something in, the power gets released. So how does that apply to our spiritual life? How do we plug something in? It's when God opens a door. It's when God nudges us and we go through that open door. That's when we find the power gets released. There's just as much power in this outlet right here. But there's nothing plugged in. The power just sits there. It's when we plug something in, the power gets released. It's when God nudges you and I by His Spirit and He says, I want you to step out and do this, do that. It might be to be involved in the sports camp this week and God is nudging you and saying, I want you to be involved in that. Well, if we sit back and say, oh, I'm not being involved in that, we won't sense the unleashing of the power as we would if we stepped out and we did it. It's when we plug something in, that's when the power gets released. It's like going out there and getting that generator. If the generator just sits there running, the power is in the generator. If it's running, the power is in there. But it's not going anywhere until you plug something in. You gotta plug something in. And so it is in our spiritual life. We have to plug something in. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's not just a goal. It's a gateway to supernatural power for life and ministry. As we step out, He'll give us that power, that ability, that enablement. And then thirdly, it's the gateway to supernatural provision for life and ministry. We're not speaking here of financial provision, while God does financially provide, but that's a topic for another time. But here we're talking about provision for life and ministry, the tools, in other words, for life and ministry. Three areas. First of all, the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes all the gifts of the Holy Spirit available to the believer and increases the likelihood of their being used in the gifts. Technically, even a believer who's not baptized in the Holy Spirit could be used in most of the gifts. Find in the Old Testament, you find illustrations of what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament before Pentecost, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You find evidences of healing and miracles and faith and knowledge and wisdom. You find all of them except two of them, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, but only rarely and by a few in the Old Testament. But after Pentecost, you find the gifts in operation by many and often. When baptized in the Holy Spirit, all the gifts become available. I call them God's power tools. God's power tools. Let me illustrate it like this. You could go out there and build an entire house on old hand tools. I mean, an old hammer, the old saw, the old drill. I mean, you could build an entire house with old hand tools. People did it for decades, centuries. You could build it with old hand tools. But oh, how much better to have power tools. Oh my, to have that pneumatic hammer and to have that skill saw and to have that power drill. One of the things we love to do is we love to go camping and fishing when we go on vacation. And for decades, we'd go out there camping and fishing, and we use the old handsaw, you know, to cut the firewood. I mean, the old buck saw. We were just cutting firewood with that old saw. Did it for years. And then one day I was walking along, and I noticed a rummage sale in progress. And I saw a chainsaw there for sale for $5. And I'm kind of a fix-it guy, so I thought I can't go wrong on that deal. And so I bought the chainsaw for $5. I fixed it up. And we brought that camping. And oh my, did that make a difference. I mean, when it got time to make that wood, start up the old chainsaw, and it would buzz through that wood just like a hot knife through butter. In fact, a few years ago, that chainsaw died to the point where I couldn't fix it anymore. But by that point in time, I was hooked, and I went out and bought a brand new one. There was no more bucksaw. I mean, we're using the chainsaw from this point on. I liken the gifts of the Holy Spirit to being like God's power tools for life and ministry. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, we don't have time to elaborate on them, but there's the mind of God gifts, the word of wisdom, to know what you have, to know what to do in a certain situation, or the word of knowledge, to know something you would not know. No way of knowing unless God showed it to you. The word of wisdom deals with action, what to do. Word of knowledge deals with facts. And then there's the discerning of spirits, discerning whether something is of God, of the enemy, or of the flesh. Then there's the power of God gifts, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. When God gives you that gift of faith for a certain situation, you know that you know that you know that this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it's going to work. It might be in spite of all the facts and all the reports and everything people are saying, but you just know that you know that you know for that situation, this is the way it's going to be. Then the voice of God gifts, the word of prophecy, message in tongues, or an interpretation of message in tongues. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes all the gifts available and increases the likelihood of being used in the gifts. Then secondly, the baptism in the Holy Spirit opens the door to a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing will help you to be more than you are in the natural. The anointing will help you to say more than you know in the natural. The anointing will help you to do more than you can do in the natural. It just brings everything to another level. And then thirdly, then baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us a greater love for Jesus and enables us to love others in a greater way. David Wilkerson called the baptism in the Holy Spirit a baptism of love. You all probably know the story of David Wilkerson, Assemblies of God pastor in Pennsylvania. He saw a picture in a magazine of New York City gang members that were on trial. God put a burden on his heart for those New York City gang members, and he left Pennsylvania, went to New York City to reach them for Christ. He stepped out and he went to New York City. While ministering there in New York City, many of these gang members were reached for Christ. Then he started a discipleship program to help them go on in their new faith in Christ. That program became Teen Challenge, which now has centers all around the world. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit gives us a greater love for Jesus and enables us to love others in a greater way. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's not just a goal, but it's a gateway to supernatural provision, providing a greater use in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit, and a greater love of the Holy Spirit for Jesus and for others. In closing this morning, God is pouring out His Holy Spirit around the world in an incredible way. 650 million people this day are reportedly baptized in the Holy Spirit around the world right now. There's 650 million baptized in the Holy Spirit believers around the world. That's two times more than the entire United States population. They tell us that every day 30,000 people are baptized in the Holy Spirit around the world. But it's not just a goal, it's a gateway providing supernatural prayer, providing supernatural power, providing supernatural provision. It's a gateway, and God wants to use us as lights in this dark world. He wants to use every one of us as shining lights, going out in the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is you don't have to be like somebody else. God can use you and the way you are wired and your personality. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be like someone else. God can use you. God can use you. I find great comfort as I get older. I find great comfort that, you know, Paul was in his 70s when Paul wrote to the Romans, and he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I find that Moses was 80 when he started to lead the people of Israel. Caleb was 85 when he said, give me this mountain. John was in his 90s and he still had a fire burning in his life. God can use each one of us, whether we are young, whether we are old, but he wants us to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And once again, George Wood just said it this way in that article that he had wrote. He said, when you are confronting powerful evil forces, when you are invading hostile enemy territory, when you are confronting situations individuals have no human answers for, and where positive thinking and self-help techniques do not work, you must have a power that comes from God. And we need that power too. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to experiencing the miraculous. It's the doorway to the supernatural. A gateway to supernatural prayer. A gateway to supernatural power. A gateway to supernatural provision. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is a gateway. It is a gateway. Let's bow our heads together in prayer this morning. Beth, if you'll come to the keyboard, please. Father, this morning we thank you and we praise you from the very depths of our heart for who you are. Father, this morning we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, this morning we are so thankful for Jesus, because without Jesus, we would have no relationship with you. Without Jesus, we would have none of the Holy Spirit within us. Without Jesus, we'd be ineligible for everything I've been preaching on this morning. Father, this morning we are so thankful and we are so grateful for Jesus. And Father, we're so thankful and grateful that while we can never earn, merit, or deserve anything we receive of you, It's not dependent on our earning and meriting and deserving. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy and all that you make available to us. Father, we also are so thankful and grateful that while you make so much available to us, we realize that you never force anything on anybody, but you wait for us to open the doors and the windows of our life. Father, we pray in these next few moments we would open the doors and the windows of our life, allowing your work to be furthered within us, that no matter where we are at in our life, your work will be furthered within us. Have your way in these next few moments. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. I don't know each person here this morning, and I don't know where you are at in your spiritual life. And this morning, you might say, preacher, this morning you've preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit that's available to all followers of Jesus. But I've come into this service and I've never made a commitment to my life to Jesus. And without a commitment of our life to Jesus, we have no relationship with God. We have none of the Holy Spirit within us. We're ineligible for everything I preached on this morning. We're on our own to make it in this life. We have no home waiting for us in heaven. Without a commitment of our life to Jesus, we have nothing, we have nothing, we have nothing. But the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open saying, come to me, and I will cleanse you, and I will forgive you, and I'll make you a child of God. I'll be with you while you walk on this earth. I'll prepare a home for in heaven when this life is done. But it all starts with a commitment of our life to Jesus. And this morning he stands with his arms wide open just waiting for you. Secondly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I've done that before. But you know that as sure as you're sitting here this morning, you're not living by that commitment you made to Christ. And something we committed our life to years ago, but we're not living by today, doesn't do us any good. The issue isn't years ago. The issue is where we at this morning. But the good news is Jesus stands with his arms wide open saying, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. I will cleanse you, I will forgive you, I will restore you. I still got a plan for your life. Thirdly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I'm a follower of Jesus, but there's stuff in my life that shouldn't be there. And I need Jesus to cleanse me, to wash me, to forgive me of the sin in my life. And the good news is Jesus stands ready to cleanse, to wash, to forgive. If we're just willing to admit and acknowledge our need of his cleansing and forgiveness and be willing to repent and turn from the sin, he stands with his arms wide open just waiting. This morning in this first altar call, we're not going to have you come forward, but just simply right where you're seated in a moment. If you need to make a commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin, in a moment we're going to ask you to slip up your hand, and then we're going to have one word of prayer for everyone who slips up their hand this morning. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. If you need to make a commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin, this morning, right here, right now, right where you're at, just slip up that hand right now. Just slip it up right now. Put that hand back down. I see those hands. You may put them down. Are there still others? Still others? Still others? We'll wait a moment longer. Still others? Father, this morning you've seen uplifted hands across this auditorium. And Father, you know why individuals have raised a hand this morning, whether it's a first-time commitment of their life to Jesus or to recommit their life to Christ or for cleansing and forgiveness from sin. And I pray, Father, this morning you will minister to the very reason why they have raised a hand this morning. I pray, Father, this morning you will cleanse them, you will wash them, you will forgive them of the sin in their life. And I pray, Father, you will come and live within them by your Holy Spirit if you are not already there. And I pray, Father, you will help them as they live for Jesus from this day on. Father, thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you dwell within us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're going to help us as we live for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, we just ask this and pray this with thanksgiving and praise in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Let's stand together, please, if we could. Everyone standing, please. Unless you're physically unable to stand this morning. You know, if we ended right now, it'd be a wonderful, wonderful morning. people committing their life to Jesus, people recommitting their life to Christ, people making things right with God. And by the way, if you made a first-time commitment of your life to Christ this morning, we encourage you, let one of the pastors know and they can give you materials to go on in your life in Jesus. But this morning, it would be a shame for us to come and preach on how wonderful, how powerful, and how supernatural the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. And then say, God bless you, I hope someday you receive. Have a nice life without giving you the opportunity to receive. Hey, I can't baptize anybody in the Holy Spirit. I can't baptize anybody in the Holy Spirit. But there's somebody here this morning who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and his name is Jesus. And he's here this morning to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And in a moment, if your prayer is, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want what Jesus thought was so important. He told those early disciples, don't leave Jerusalem without this. I want what Jesus thought was so important. He used his last words on earth to talk about this. I want what the Bible tells us is available to all believers, whether you just became one or you've been one for decades. But it's a gift that's available for all believers. And hey, you can't earn it, you can't deserve it, you can't merit it, you can't be good enough for it. It's a gift that's available for all believers. Hey, if you're a believer, congratulations, you're eligible. So in a moment, Beth is going to sing, and as she begins to sing, we're going to ask you to step out of the seats. We're going to ask you to come and fill this side of the altar right here. If you want prayer for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to share a couple things with you. I'm going to ask Debbie and Pastor Josh, join me over there, and I'll share a couple things with you, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to believe that Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But nobody's going to go out there and get you. Nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to drag you up here. You need to go from there to over here. Secondly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I think I'm in that other group that got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I haven't put it into regular use in my life. And I need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. If that is your prayer this morning, we're going to ask you to step out of those seats, same altar call. When Beth begins to sing, and we're going to ask you to fill in the same area right over here. Because, hey, something that happened years ago, whether it's 1 year ago, 1 year ago, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago, but it's been weeks, months, or years since you prayed in the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful memory, but it doesn't help us with everyday living today. But the good news is Jesus is here this morning to refill us with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want it to be an old memory, but he wants it to be fresh and flowing in our life. So same altar call, if you want prayer for the refilling of the Holy Spirit, you just make your way over here. We're going to share the same things with you, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to believe Jesus is going to refill you with the Holy Spirit. But hey, nobody's going to go out there and get you. Nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to drag you up here. You need to go from there to over here. But then thirdly, perhaps this morning you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and your prayer this morning is, I want God to use me. I want God to use me as a shining light in a dark world. I want God to open doors and opportunities. I want God to open doors for me to plug something in and watch his power get released through my life. I want God to help me to have the boldness to step out when those open doors and opportunities come. I want God to use me, whether it's going to be this week, next week, the following week, whether it's going to be at the sports camp, or it's going to be talking to the neighbor, it's going to be at the workplace or whatever. I just want God to use me. And that should be the prayer of every believer that's not over here, should be over here saying, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me to touch the lives of those around me. So the moment Beth begins to sing, if you're for this side over here, you make your way over here. There's not going to be official ending, no official closing. You go whenever you want to go. You stay as long as you want to stay. But let's let God touch our life before we leave this place this morning, won't we? He's got something for everybody, but he won't force anything on anybody. It's up to us to respond. So the moment she begins to sing, you want prayer for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you head over here. You want to get refilled with the Holy Spirit, you head over here. You just want God to use you and open new doors, new opportunities, and God to work through you in greater ways. You fill in over here and you make it your prayer over here. But let's let God touch our life before we leave this place this morning, won't we? Come as she begins to sing this morning. Come, come. Everybody should be moving somewhere. Everybody should be moving somewhere. Come, 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 come. You want prayer for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, head over here. You want to get refilled with the Holy Spirit, head over here. You just want God to use you in greater ways. I'll be over there in just a moment. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Just make it your prayer. God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll wait a few more moments as people are still making their way to the right place. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And just pray that God's going to use you and God's going to work through you. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if I can get your...
are higher than our ways, and the plans that you have laid are good and true. If you call us to the fire, you will not withdraw your hand. We'll gaze into the flames and look for you. Thank you.
That's all. We'll just stay a little longer to see. Thank you.